would like to give the opportunity to Mr. Getz, Mr. Stafford, and Mr. Foley to conclude their remarks on this particular agenda item, and then we'll have some additional board discussion and move forward.
Just one other thing. You were working your way down through the points under 8912, demolition of existing buildings. We talked about two, but not the third. Just wanted to mention, I think we talked about it in reference to the traffic study and the plan, but that really points to its vehicular and pedestrian traffic better under the proposal option than it is now. And I just wanted to get that on the record that the plan proposes to control traffic onto a side municipal street through one driveway, and all of the individual driveways utilizing the alleyway will be eliminated, that we will discourage traffic to use the alleyway. Even if it did, the numbers are extremely low. So we think that the proposal offers a better alternative and is a safer condition for pedestrians and vehicular movement than the existing condition.
Good evening, John Foley, NAICIR Commercial Realtors. I represent both the assemblage of owners on this collection of ground. The properties have been used as residential rentals for a number of years. My involvement in this property came when the Center House 562 was part of a police investigation because it was a drug house. It was an abandoned bank-owned home in which Chief O'Rourke and I entered the home, found the drug paraphernalia, and then we went about trying to secure the structure and involve community development with that. I think Chuck can attest to that. I was then able to get the neighboring property owner to acquire that, because I thought it would have been a good solution for them. One of the challenges that we've had through the course of the ownership of those parcels is maintaining residential owners. Now, we're talking about life safety issues. We have families with young children there. Yes, they can go in the backyard, but not everyone comes off the porch. Some kids actually are running out front. So it's not an entire life safety issue. What you're finding is a functional obsolescence to the property. Their usefulness and ability to maintain residential occupants is very challenged, extremely challenged, which diminishes the returns on the property, which diminishes the ability to continue to upgrade and maintain the property. If I can, I'd like to answer a couple other questions that have been raised here as we went through this discussion. There was points raised about how First Avenue was going to be used. I personally went and sat at First Avenue, actually in the alleyway. And I did Google Maps, MapQuest, and Waze to find out what direction they were going to send me, both eastbound and westbound. Not one time did they put me on First Avenue. They took me out appropriately. I went to Hillcrest and I went to Chocolate. And I did them two distinct times, 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, to see how bad the traffic would impact it as you get redirected due to traffic. Not one did it. The interesting thing in all this is, in addition to that site, I went to the Hill of True. And they had all of the exact same travel patterns, each and every one of them. Every one. So we have both functional obsolescence in these properties, and we also have vehicular traffic that is consistent with existing buildings. We've been addressing this, is it suitable to the neighborhood? I'd argue it's a tremendous improvement. If you're coming westbound or eastbound, you're going to pass the Staples complex, which we've all identified as less than desirable. A desired change. Redevelopment is what we heard from the UDA presentations. That's what we need. We then have a gas station, Zip-Zap. Okay. If we want another gas station, okay, I get it. Then you have a church. Interestingly enough, this structure that they're proposing sits 13 feet above the neighboring property, which is, in fact, a commercial use. It's an office building. The unknown in all this is, or the most baffling part of this particular project keeps going through their steps, every step of the way. For 2 years, they have been talking with this board, and yet 100 yards away, we see a 5-story structure come out of the ground, and not a word said. This board endorsed it unanimously.
Is this
irrelevant. It is relevant, well, because you brought up form, Mr. Engel, and form would be consistent with the neighborhood.
Hold on.
If you could please keep your remarks related to the agenda item, and I know you were doing that, but let's keep them focused on that.
They are. They're specific to the demolition. The demolition that we're seeking, that this project needs, is because it's functionally obsolete. We're trying to get caught on the technicalities of which no other projects are being mandated with the scrutiny of this. The disparity here is remarkable. It really is. It's discrimination.
Good evening. Ron Lucas, attorney representing the property owners, the legal property owners here, two Hershey residents, PGL Realty LLC, Lou Mione and Joe Bellissimo. They purchased these properties.
I'm sorry. The names?
Lou Mione and Joe Bellissimo. Over a period of years, almost 10 years, they purchased these properties. And they kept them, had mortgages, and rented them out. When these properties were rezoned, a little over 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the new zoning was adopted 2 to 3 years ago now, it allowed for this commercial development. I found a developer who would put in a permitted use, and that permitted use was the hotel. Now, this ordinance was adopted design review. It's not a historic district ordinance, which municipalities are authorized to do in Pennsylvania. That's not what it is. But it has similar characteristics to that. Why it was put separately, I don't know. Probably because it's not a historic district ordinance. A property owner has a right to develop their property. No question about that. U.S. Supreme Court said that in 1989, Nolan case. They wanted to tear down a beach house and build a new one. But they were denied a building permit because the California Coastal Commission wanted them to give a easement across the back of their property for the public to walk along the ocean. Chief Justice Rehnquist said, every property owner has a bundle of property rights, including the right to develop their property. You can regulate it, you can't prohibit it. Now, in Pennsylvania, you only have the power to regulate land use under the Pennsylvania Municipalities Planning Code. Very clear, that is your only authority. And in that statute, Article 7 is PRDs. Everybody's familiar with those. To have a PRD, the land must be rezoned. Traditional neighbor development is Article 7A. That was added later. To have a traditional neighbor development, the property has to be rezoned to traditional neighbor development, either one property or a whole block. You did not rezone the entire downtown traditional neighborhood development. This ordinance said it's pursuant to that, but it's not, because it doesn't follow the planning code. There is no authority for this ordinance, and we have indicated that to you, I've indicated that, and it's been raised in the appeal that's going to be argued before the judge next Tuesday. Now, if you look at this ordinance, there's basic principles in Pennsylvania law for municipalities to follow. If it's at all ambiguous, it's interpreted in favor of the landowner. You write the ordinance, you regulate the land use. If you don't write it clearly, then it fails. The landowner does not have to follow it. It's very clear. And when you look at the section we're talking about, subsection A in 1, 2, 3, does it say it must follow all three? No. Does it have an and in there after the second one? No. Therefore, it must be interpreted that only one of them can be applied. Now, how are we applying them? A says that the buildings, adaptive reuse of existing buildings, shall be utilized to the greatest extent possible. On a meter of 1 to 10, what does that mean? A 7? A 9? A 10? I don't know, and you don't know either, because it's ambiguous. It's not an objective standard. But you get on through these subsections, something will be more achievable. What's more achievable? Is it crossing the 50-yard line or getting a touchdown? I don't know, neither do you, and that's the problem with this ordinance. This ordinance is totally illegal, there's no authority for it, and it's poorly written. You cannot enforce this. Now, if these three sections are separate, there's no requirement for a structural engineer report. If you're not following that, you don't have to meet all three, meet one of them. And the standards in here are not, the land use attorney was very good and very well known for years out of Westchester. She always said, that an ordinance has to be like a cookbook. Has to lay out everything very clearly. You can't say, put in a reasonable amount. Put in a sufficient amount. But that's how this ordinance is written. So, if you're going to apply this, if you're going to think you have to get a permit to demolish a building, whether it's for a hotel or for another house, you have to treat everybody the same. You have to treat our clients the same, our property owners, who invested in these properties, who try to rent them out, and because of what's happened over the past year, they're not obtaining rental, they have their mortgages to pay, because somebody notified Channel 27 to go out there one night when there was going to be a meeting and interview the people. Do you know that your properties are going to be redeveloped? Tenants stopped paying their rent when they either left or evicted for non-payment of rent. The houses were left in shambles. Remember the movie Pacific Heights? That's what we have here. That's what was caused my clients. If you'd approved the plan, we would not have that situation today. Now, the first plan, I can never predict what a judge will do. I don't think any attorney would do that. But the law is very clear that the judge should overturn your first decision. What the developer has done is come back with a plan addressing some of the questions that you had. And in this case, there was no specific action on the demolition. It was one motion, as I recall. I could be wrong. But to say there is no structural engineer report, that's not required if somebody doesn't apply under that. And to say, what is more achievable, I don't know what that means. Neither does anybody else. I do not think you can deny this application and demolish a permit based on this ordinance. This language is not specific enough for you to say you did not reach that 8 on the scale. You only reached 7. 8 was more achievable. You didn't reach that. Therefore, we're denying your application. That's what you're saying. That is not proper. That's not the law. That's taken away our clients' property rights. I'm just speaking for the legal property owners, Hershey residents who have owned these properties, paid their taxes, rented them out to people, and now do not have tenants, do not have a buyer who can settle on the property because he hasn't gotten his plan approved, and we have properties with mortgages on them. If that's your message to the citizens of this township, it's a pretty poor message. Thank you.
Any other questions from board members of anyone?
No, needless to say, Ron, we disagree. And we disagree with Chapter 89. This is not a court. We're not here to argue a case. We're here to listen to the question that has been presented, and we're here to make a decision. So, just want to go, no. Just want to go on the record that we don't agree.
I'll make my argument to the judge.
That's right.
He'll follow the law.
That's where you should.
Mr. Guest, is there
anything? He'll follow the law.
Gentlemen, please. Is there anything final you'd like to say?
When we were at the design board, there were conversations from the design board. If you would make this a mixed use, we'd be happier about it. Well, you don't get to pick and choose what use we have. You don't get to say, we'll allow demolition if you build a building we like. We won't allow it if you build something else. We deserve to be treated legally the way you've treated other applicants. Thank you.
If the board has no further questions regarding agenda item A, we do need to take this in two separate pieces. The first motion would be regarding demolition. The second motion would be regarding new construction.
Before you go to a motion, I want to make a comment. Just to reiterate, I disagree with most of the comments that were made. I believe that Chapter 89 is valid, and I don't think the applicant has met one of the three criteria. And it's, so just want to go on record. Go ahead.
I have a question. We have discussed
I can't hear.
Three. We did not discuss number three very well, too. The safety of vehicular and pedestrian traffic. Now, Chuck, in your introduction to this, you said that throughout the day there's 635 trips, and a resident, a single resident, has 10 per day. So this is increasing the vehicular trips.
So what I was comparing was an average trip from a house is 10 trips per day. There's 6 houses, so that would be 60 trips. That's throughout the course of the day.
Yes.
This hotel is, according to their traffic assessment, would produce 635 average daily trips.
That's correct. And that's supposed to be a safer situation. I'm concerned about health and safety. I don't see that that increase, especially what we're going through with the waste thing up on Arriva Avenue, is a safer situation.
Tim, would you like to add a final comment to this?
Just one point. I think the test, the metric is not, are you increasing traffic? It's the safety of access for pedestrians and vehicles. It's irrelevant. Which land use creates more? It's with that traffic, are you able to accommodate it to the site, parking, access, control, so on and so forth?
Well, there's a lot of alleys in town, and I have never heard of an accident of someone backing out of their garage on an alley. Of course, that would have old records. I feel pretty safe driving down the alleys. So I don't know if there is a safety issue because you have six garages on an alley.
Just one more comment before you report. Very mixed emotions about how to move forward. This is not black and white. I wish it was a lot easier to make a decision, and we can't make decisions as individuals. We have to make decisions as elected officials and try to operate within the rules and the regulations that are before us, and some of them, as you've heard tonight, are really up for a matter of interpretation. And you can certainly understand the arguments on both sides of the fence. So I just wanted to state that this has not been an easy process for me or for anybody, I'm sure, in trying to determine how to move forward with this project. So I just wanted to offer that as we move forward. Would someone like to make a motion, or I can read the motion, and then somebody can make it, if that's easier, since it's sort of a long one?
Well, I think you have to make it. You can read it. Yeah.
Well, if I make the motion, Chris, and I don't vote for the motion, then is that's still all right? What would Robert's rule say?
Well, I defer to the solicitor on that, really, but you can make the motion to get it on the floor for debate and open it for debate.
So
for that purpose on the motion only.
And I'd be happy to make it. So there's, then when we talk about it, we have choices of motion, whether we want to vote for or against it. Unless somebody wants to jump in front of me, I'll go ahead and make a motion.
I will.
Justin, can you just keep your voice up?
Sure. Can I what?
Keep your voice up.
Let me put the microphone closer. So I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors finds that the applicant has not met the burden of proof to show that the existing buildings located 554, 574, through 574 West Chopin Avenue should be demolished. The board finds that the adaptive reuse of the buildings is viable, that the general aesthetics and compatibility of design with surrounding uses will be degraded with the demolition of the existing structures and construction of a new building, and that pedestrian and vehicular safety will decline due to the increased traffic. Therefore, the request of demolition is rejected.
Mr. Engels made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm a nay. Second item for voting this evening on agenda item A is regarding new construction. I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors finds that the proposed building is out of scale and character with the surrounding area, and then coupled with the rejection of the requested demolition results in a rejection of the proposal for a new building. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Agenda item B, preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Town Place Suites Hotel, Plat 1315. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Plat 1315 represents the subdivision, lot consolidation, and land development of 554 through 574 West Chocolate Avenue. The applicant proposes to combine six lots into a single development tract having a gross area of .8082 acres and a net area of 0.7638 acres. The property presently contains six dwelling units and associated accessory structures, which will all be raised to make way for a five-story, 60-foot-high, 76-room hotel. A hotel use is a permitted use within the downtown core overlay of the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District. The parking on the property is proposed behind the front facade of the building in compliance with the overlay district requirements. With a total of 76 hotel rooms being provided and six employees anticipated on the maximum shift, a total of 81 parking spaces are required on the property. The applicant is proposing a total of 81 parking spaces comprised of 60 standard spaces, with seven of those being elevated, 15 compact spaces, with five of those being elevated, four accessible spaces, and eight bicycle spaces beyond the required spaces, which account for two additional automobile spaces. The applicant is also proposing a six-space Zagster bike rack to meet the initial demand for four bicycle parking spaces, and has proposed the eight additional at the eastern corner of the property. Per section 18542A of the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance, the applicant has indicated that the use will not generate traffic at a threshold that would require a full traffic study, being 100 or more peak hour trips. The plans indicate that the hotel use will generate 40 a.m. peak hour trips and 46 p.m. peak hour trips. Section 18542B of the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance allows the township to require a traffic study whenever the current traffic problems exist in the area, which, in the opinion of the township, are likely to be impacted by the proposed development activity. This traffic study is beneficial in determining how patrons will circulate into and out of the site, considering the inability to make left turns onto West Chocolate Avenue and geometric confines of surrounding intersections. The study should determine if the geometric or safety improvements are appropriate along South First Street, West Gracchus Avenue, Hillcrest Road, Orchard Road, and any other street impacted by the development. The applicant has provided a traffic assessment that has partially addressed the concerns. However, HRG still has questions. The applicant is proposing a subsurface stormwater management facility with an impervious liner beneath the proposed parking area to collect stormwater runoff from the roof of the building as well as parking lot. The runoff will be directed to the subsurface facility by a pair of inlets and conveyance pipes. The conveyance pipes and inlet will be constructed to direct the stormwater from the underground stormwater management facility to the existing stormwater system in West Caracas Avenue. In this case, the maximum impervious coverage for the property is 85% of the lot area. The applicant is proposing a coverage of 84.18%. The overall design of the site amenities was approved by the design board, as previously discussed. Waivers have been requested in the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance and the Stormwater Management Ordinance. As noted, typically the Planning Commission would join staff in offering comments related to the approval or denial of the waivers. However, the Planning Commission tabled this plan at their September 3rd meeting without acting on the waivers. The waivers are as follows. Our rather typical waiver of profiling of existing storm sewers, sanitary sewer gas, and water lines within the property, where staff is recommending that a partial waiver be granted only as it affects unaffected facilities, which has been a rather normal waiver to be granted. There's a waiver requested of driveway separation from the nearest intersection. The ordinance requires a 60-foot separation. The plan, the lot itself cannot accommodate that from the alley and Chocolate Avenue. We believe that the applicant has proposed the driveway in the best location, being furthest from the busiest road, and we're recommending that waiver be granted. It asks for a waiver for curbing along this South First Street, and again, staff is recommending that waiver be granted. It asks for a waiver of volume control for stormwater, and we're recommending that that waiver be granted as the township engineer and site engineer have coordinated the proposed design of the stormwater system. Now, the Derry Township Planning Commission, at their meeting on May 7, 2019, had tabled plat 1315 to allow time for the applicant to address and re-present information related to the technical concerns noted in the May 2nd, 2019 Township Staff Report and the April 17th, 2019 HRG letter. Additionally, the Planning Commission wanted to have the opportunity to review the traffic analysis. Details on the safety and constructability of the retaining walls and a better operation and maintenance agreement for the vehicle lifts. They also wanted to see some form of construction description for the constructability of the proposed 60-foot high building 5 feet from the eastern property line prior to making a recommendation on the plan. This plan did was re-presented at the September 3rd, 2019 Planning Commission meeting, where it was again tabled to allow the time for the applicant to satisfactorily address the comments, concerns related to the township's liability in the event of an accident involving the vehicle lifts. The applicant, in their resubmission to the Board of Supervisors, has indicated that they do not believe that there is a liability concern. One of the Planning Commission members had asked for an indemnification statement, which again they didn't feel was necessary, evidently, because it wasn't resubmitted. The Planning Commission wanted to see details on the safety and constructability of the retaining wall and the proposed guards or guide rail. The applicant has deferred addressing the constructability of the retaining wall to the building permit stage and has provided details for the proposed guardrails. The Planning Commission also wanted an amendment to the traffic report regarding the ability of South First Street to accommodate the hotel traffic, and HRG still has some concerns with how that was addressed. So without receiving an extension of time from the applicant for the board to act on this plan, action must be taken this evening, where the plans will be deemed approved. Lack of an extension of time precludes the board's ability to table the plans to allow the applicant to address any outstanding comments or concerns from the board that may be raised tonight. In this case, seeing that the board has denied demolition of the existing dwellings and construction of the new building, I don't believe that the board should approve the land development plan. It just doesn't seem right. That coupled with the outstanding comments listed in my staff report A through N, which are that the applicant reimbursed the township for cost incurred in the review of the plan no later than November 8, 2019, that the following happened no later than April 8, 2020, that the performance security is provided to guarantee the installation of the required improvements and the accompanying agreement to provide financial security is signed, that the applicant provides statements from the utilities indicating conditions attached to the existing or proposed easements and right-of-ways, that the applicant provide calculations indicating that the fire hydrant flow rates satisfy the rates needed under the fire suppression rating schedule as published by the Insurance Services Office of New York, New York, or the current National Fire Prevention Association standard, which applied to the building type being considered, whichever is applicable, that the applicant revised the plans to remove the compact car parking signs from within the area required for parking for the spaces located between the stairwell and the water room, and provides a detail for a compliant location of the signs, possibly on the wall, that the applicant satisfactorily address concerns related to the township's liability in the event of an accident involving the vehicle lifts, that the applicant provides details of the safety and constructability of the retaining walls and details of all proposed guards, that the that a copy of the PennDOT Highway occupancy permit plans and permit be provided, that the certification of title showing the applicant is the equitable owner of the land is signed, that the landowner street dedication statement signature block is signed, that the landowner statement On the stormwater best management practices, signature block is signed, and that the following HRG concern is addressed regarding the traffic assessment. And their concern is the assessment indicates that site traffic will not utilize South First Street, with all entering and exiting traffic anticipated to be routed on alternate roadways. The assessment indicates that this could be reinforced through the distribution of a postcard or handout indicating preferred driving routes. However, many drivers, particularly tourists, will rely on GPS for traffic exiting to the west and entering from the east. Additionally, Google Maps indicates it is 2 minutes quicker to exit towards westbound US Route 422 using South First Street to Orchard than using Hoppersville Road. As noted previously, it is anticipated that some site traffic would utilize South First Street, provide documentation that the roadway will facilitate safe passage for this increased traffic, or consider alternatives such as one-way or widening. That two originals of the signed and notarized stormwater best management practice operation maintenance agreement be provided, and that a digital file of the final plan in an AutoCAD format or DXF format, compatible format, is provided. And then additionally, there would be recording conditions if the plan were recommended for approval, and those would be that the stormwater best management practice operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the property consolidation deed referencing the stormwater best management practices operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and finally, that the agreement regarding the operation and maintenance program for the auto stackers, including information related to the anticipated method of loading and unloading the auto stacker, is recorded concurrently with the plan. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Chuck. Anyone have any questions of Mr. Emmerich? Is there anything that you'd like to offer related to this agenda?
Yes, thank you. I would point out the Planning Commission did recommend the approval of the hotel project in November of 2018. I'd like you to have the minutes of that meeting. That was the plan that's currently under appeal in court. I would also point out that nearly everything that Mr. Emmerich read, if it's not an outside agency, which cannot be the reason to deny a plan, are very minor things that should be conditioned to plan approval, not reason for denial. And I further think that, Jim, that we've submitted some information after that Planning Commission meeting to address some of those comments. Specifically, I remember seeing a plan showing that the handicapped parking is, the space is wide enough, correct?
Correct.
Just for the record, that was not mentioned in my report. My report was concerning the compact car space signs were within the required compact car space.
On September 11th.
I guess I can show you right here because I have a plan.
You have the 9/11 plan?
This is...
Yes. So those signs.
So we have signs that intrude on the minimum area required for the compact car, which is.
I think they're structure now, are they not?
It doesn't tell
me. I think that's intended to show you that their sign will be located there, not that it's going to intrude 4 inches into the property. I think it's there to show that there's a sign. If we would have just put it up against the wall, you wouldn't have seen it.
And actually, it's. I have to apologize. Our compact spaces are 16x8, not 18x8. So that those signs are fine. This one is not.
Well, we could certainly put it against the wall. Again, that's something minor that should be a condition of plan approval, not a reason for rejection. Another issue that Mr. Emmerich mentioned was that the Planning Commission talked about was this whole idea of designing now the retaining walls. That's not this township's policy. That's not what has been done. And I'd like to present to you a memorandum that I wrote dated today showing the 7 plans that this township has approved in the last 3 years, where in every circumstance there were notes in the plan that the structural would be designed at building permit stage and not at land development stage. And we see no reason that this project should be treated any differently than the way you've treated everything else in the last 3 years. As far as the traffic concern, we've been over this extensively, but we do not believe that the minor number of cars that may go up First Street, which is, by the way, a public street, is going to be any kind of danger to public safety, public health and welfare. We do intend to direct our customers to use different routes. Yeah, people do use Google Maps and everything else. Once we open the hotel, we believe that we can start going to those providers and saying, that's not a good turn. We can't go to Google Maps now because it's not our property. We can't try to change driving routes now. It would affect the current owner and their tenants. I mean, imagine if those tenants are told they can't use the alley, which is their only way of getting to and from their properties. So that's not something we can work on now, but it's something we can work on once we open the property.
Any other questions of Mr. Emmerich, HRG, any of the applicants here this evening? Is the option?
Yeah, I have a couple comments. It's, and this is not intended to start a debate, have some comments about the plan. The something we haven't seen in the last 3 years or ever is the inclusion of parking lifts on the plan. And so I understand why they're being proposed, but and they're not mentioned specifically in the ordinance. it's being put forward that we must, because it's not mentioned, we must allow them, not only allow them, but allow them to meet the minimum parking requirements, which frankly I think is absurd. And I can't speak for everyone in this room, but I'm guessing most of you don't see car lifts in commercial lots. You see them in New York City, you see them in Philadelphia, but you don't see them in commercial lots. And there's a reason. It's a mechanical piece of equipment that we have no ability to regulate. Elevators are covered by the building code, very strictly, and they have to be maintained because they're carrying a lot of weight and they're potentially very dangerous. Car lifts are relatively new and we have no mechanism in place to regulate them. And there's no question that car lifts are dangerous. We don't allow them in the ordinance, so therefore we don't have them regulated. So inevitably, when somebody's operating a car lift, there's going to be a blind side. So we haven't made any regulations to say the blind side must have some type of wall or fence to limit small children from going underneath. And there's no regulation that says when you lower the car lift, you have to have a spotter. There's just no regulation associated with these things. And so, not to mention they're being placed relatively close to other houses. There's noise considerations. So I stated it in the first, when we heard the first plan back in January, I went on the record and said that this is one of the major problems that I have with the plan. And so it remains a major concern with the plan. So
I understand.
And again, I'm not looking for an argument.
I understand and I respect your right to state your opinion, but we have the right to respond to that. And that is that your ordinance does not prohibit them, number one. Number two, we have submitted a plan to the township that can be recorded about how it can be operated safely and how the township can regulate them. There is a provision in that allows the township to inspect, and there's a provision that if any of them are out of service, we have to close down a room. So there are township controls, there are township regulations, and so we believe, and these are not going to be operated by our patrons. They're going to be operated by our employees, people who have been trained on how to do valet parking. The instructions include things like make sure there's nobody around. and when you're operating with, make sure people have stepped out of the way. So we, I would disagree with you that there is no operation and that the township has no regulation, because it's in the document that your staff asked us to prepare. Mr. Kwan?
Hi, this is Jim Kwan. I'm representing Bears Creek. Actually, I'm not even talking about the auto stackers tonight. I just wanted to kind of let you know from our perspective what has happened. 2 years ago, they proposed a project, and obviously we looked at the project, visited it, and said, that's a great site, like we've done with the Chevy dealership down on the east side. When we looked at it, we said, okay, this is an opportunity. So we went, first thing we do before we go into contract is go to the township. Does it follow the zoning requirements? Are we allowed to do this? Which we did. We met, we looked at the concept, we can't do this. So immediately we go engage the architects, the engineers, and everybody else, say, hey, we're working as a team with the township. So we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in 2 years working and go through this process. A year ago, we've been approved by the design board, approved by the planning commission, and they get denied. So I'm just trying to, I fail to understand how we are, as a property owner, we own properties, we pay about, I think, over 20,000 property taxes every year, create jobs, and come to a situation where we cannot maintain our rights and look at it and work with the township for what's written in the ordinance. So we actually spoke about the auto stackers well before we came to the board as well. Are we allowed to do this? So I'm just extremely confused what happened, where, you know, people are purchasing properties or getting to, you know, have empty properties, and where we have no rights whatsoever. We have no idea if you're allowed to do what's written in the ordinance anymore. So we spent a lot of money, a lot of time, trying to follow the rules that is written by you guys. So, our opinion. It's not about the auto stackers.
Yeah, Jim, I respect that. And but regarding the auto stackers, that's not something that was ever, it's not something that the board said, oh yeah, we agree with auto stackers. That's, maybe staff did, but that's not the board. So
I understand. But that should have been brought up during that time, before we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Again, I didn't want to get into a back and forth,
no,
but
I'm just
this
saying.
This plan is proposing car lifts, and very, very
demolition plan was not based on auto stackers. Denial on demolition plan was not about auto stackers.
I specifically brought it up in the first meeting. I think that the community is very interested in whether we end up with car lifts.
I think the demolition plan, going back to that, the denial for that was the envisionment that the board had, which was a mixed use, cannot be done without demolition of the existing properties. It cannot be done. You will admit to that? We all know that. So, thank you.
I do want to add one, that I don't think it makes any sense to approve a plan for a piece of property where there are houses that have not been approved to be demolished.
Do we need to take action on it, though, since it's an agenda item? That was my understanding.
We do.
We do. Well, did you say that it didn't make sense to?
I think it makes no sense to approve a land development plan for a piece of property.
Absolutely.
Where
I'm sorry. I thought you said to take action on it. I just wanted to be clear on that. Because I do believe that we either need to take action one way or the other tonight, or if there's any sort of desire on your part to.
It's our understanding that these are two separate items on the agenda.
They are.
And they deserve to be. When we were talking about the design board, you didn't want to talk about hotel, and now that we're talking about the hotel, now you want to use the design. I don't think that's correct. I think it should stand or fall on its own merits.
Yeah.
And as I said, I believe everything that Chuck listed was a minor matter that should be a condition of plan approval, or an outside agency, which is, again, should be a condition of plan approval.
Yeah, and I just needed to be clear on that. clear on what he said. So I'm agreeing with you. I just wanted to make sure that was the board's wish that we would continue moving forward on the plan. It's a very complicated project, and I appreciate the time the staff has put into this and the board members, and certainly the people involved in so many elements of this project. This has gone on for quite some time, as you've all noted. And you have, in my mind, followed along as you should with the project. So I appreciate your patience as we've worked through this. And it is not an easy decision to make, because you might, as an individual, not particularly like a hotel in a certain spot. But again, we need to make sure that we're following the ordinance and acting accordingly. So with that, is there any further discussion on this item for the plan?
I'd like to come back to the lifts for a minute. I don't like the lifts. I was working on a garage door the other day. You know, there's a list of rules you're supposed to follow for your overhead garage door. There's about 12 rules. You're supposed to oil, you're supposed to check the springs, you're supposed to check the adjustment. Who does that? No one does that. You know, you're saying that these lifts are going to be maintained. Yeah, maybe the first year, first couple of years. We don't have any way of the township to inspect them to know what's happening. And it's my experience that they won't be maintained after we go 2 years out or something like that.
I don't know that we can, at least I can't project how they will be maintained so much, but it does sort of send a message that if car lifts are needed, we're probably putting a large hotel in a very small property if there's not room for the parking in a more traditional need. So it's, for me, it's less about, you know, who's maintaining them and the safety, although that's very important because the safety of our residents should be paramount. But I think it's sort of telling that it's a big hotel and maybe a too small of a property piece. However, it is zoned that way, so there's sort of the challenge.
Mr. Weir, I would also say that we did submit a document to the township, giving the township inspection rights.
Is there any more conversation about this? There's no.
One more comment. The Planning Commission had, if I'm not mistaken, had asked for an indemnification from any liability with regard to the parking lifts. Is that something that was granted or not granted, or am I missing the mark there?
We've not responded to that. Honestly, Mr. Engel, I have never heard of a circumstance where piece of concrete falls out of a parking garage that this board approved and the township gets sued for that piece of concrete because of some kind of construction defect. I think this is a made-up red herring.
Parking lifts are unprecedented in townships like this, so it's not a made-up. It's a real concern. And so if there's no liability, if you foresee there to be no liability, then why wouldn't you indemnify?
If we indemnify the township, will you approve the plan?
Before us right now, we have the...
I'm sorry, you could answer one.
I said you could make it a condition of plan approval.
Yeah.
It's not any place in your ordinance, but if you make a condition of plan approval, certainly consider it.
The challenge is, as Mr. Everett pointed out, we cannot approve the project given the fact that demolition was not approved. So the choices before us are either the project is rejected, or if there's any extension that's to be discussed on behalf of, then the only option would be for someone to make the motion that this plan is rejected since the demolition was not approved in agenda item A. Okay, I guess I'll make the motion then. that the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Town Place Suites Hotel Flat 1315 is rejected due to the applicant not receiving approval for the demolition of the existing dwellings, and the construction of the new building is voted so. As required by Chapter 89 Downtown Core Design Standards of Township's Code of Ordinances, in addition to outstanding items A through Q listed under Department Head Recommendation section of this agenda item. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that item is denied. The next item on the agenda, update of the Erie Township Community Center project. Mr. Christopher.
Madam Chair,
really mirrors very closely what the board saw as we were going through the different options that were being considered. The option that was selected was the option that included both the gymnasium, the leisure pool down in this area, and a 35-meter competition pool. Most of the work that has gone into the plan since that time has really been just in advancing the design. It hasn't really changed a lot of anything. Orientation and adjacencies in the entire building are pretty much the same as they had been during that schematic stage, and in truth, many of the adjacencies are very similar to what they were in the previous design. So up in this area is still the administration area. The senior center and the multi-purpose room is up in this area. Fitness in this area, gymnasium, exercise room down here, leisure pool, locker rooms, competition pool in this area. As we had talked about in some of those other presentations, one of the major changes in the design was getting rid of a basement, and so that necessitated us bringing the mechanical space that was down there up onto grade, which is on the east side of the building. What this doesn't show is the outdoor pool or the associated site work. That'll get presented more fully in a couple weeks. So as Chris had mentioned, in terms of design and timeline, the October 22nd meeting, we would like to bring a full presentation to the board, to the public, and ask for the board at that time for authorization to go out to bid. We'd go out to bid August, assuming that the board approves it, October 23rd out to bid. We would request proposals back from the contractors November the 20th, and then review those and bring them forward to the board. So that's sort of the general overlay of the building and the plan, and then the architect has shared with us a couple of teaser exterior elevations that we wanted to just take a quick look at and let everyone get a chance to react to how the building looks a little bit different than the previous plan. Clearly, you know, with the single story structure, massing is different, and the architect looked at how to address that in terms of what they were putting, how we're putting the building together. So that is the view from the parking lot looking back towards the main entrance. This is a view from south side of the outside of the exterior pool looking back towards the building. So the structure off to the left with the pitched roof would be where the leisure pool would be, and this portion of the building off to the right here is where the competition pool would be. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go into any more detail. Any questions?
It'd be nice if we can get some of these preliminary images up on the township website and maybe out on display, so folks have a chance to at least get a sneak peek before we see the rest of the designs on the 22nd.
We can do that, and I'll ask the architect to get us a couple of the other exterior perspectives, and they've got some interior renderings that they've also done.
Any questions for Greg?
That is being updated. This rendering did not catch up to that yet.
Yeah, I can see.
Thank you.
Questions?
No, great. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, item D 1 through 30, consideration of the maximum parameters ordinance for the Township of Derry to undertake the issuance of bonds for the construction of the Derry Township Community Center. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With us this evening is the Township's financial team, which is comprised of Luke Verdelli from RBC Capital Markets, Donna Kreiser from McNeese Wallace, and of course Scott Shear from PFM. As you're aware, at our last board meeting, which was on September 24th, the finance team came together to kind of give you an overview of what needed to happen in terms of the maximum parameters ordinance that would be put in place to set the stage for the Township to issue the bonds for the construction of the new community center. This evening, this is the culmination of that discussion 2 weeks ago. Our ordinance that's in your packet this evening has been duly advertised as is required by the Laguda. And as such, the financial team is here this evening. If you have additional questions that weren't that weren't considered at our last board meeting 2 weeks ago. I know Mr. Scheer and Mr. Kapustin, who's not here tonight, did update the slides from the last board meeting with some numbers, but we do have that to put up on the screen if you so wish to see it. But in essence, really nothing has changed from 2 weeks ago, but we're certainly open to questions.
Is there anything formal that any of you want to present? Do the board have any questions for anyone on the financial team? It means you did that good of a job at the last meeting. Hearing no discussion, I do have a question though. I do have a question before we make that motion. The amount that we would want to put in the motion tonight. I don't know if I have a different copy than everybody else, but my amount is blank.
It is 40 million. The maximum parameters, as I just discussed 2 weeks ago, is 40 million. Now, again,
that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure it was the same.
Just so everyone's aware, it's not what we're going to want for our 40, correct? But we have to set a maximum parameter.
With that done, I'll make a motion that the maximum parameters ordinance in an amount of $40 million having been duly advertised for the local government unit. That act is hereby adopted by our board. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Sabuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries. Thank you all for your patience and for coming this evening. Our next item on the agenda, adoption of Ordinance 712, amending the Code of the Township of Gary by repealing existing Chapter 201 trees and enacting the Township of Gary Street and Public Tree Ordinance, regulating the planting, maintenance, and removal of trees located within public rights of way and public places in the township, and creating a shade tree commission for the purpose stated herein. Mr.
Do you like the way I got you to do my whole agenda item? The township has been pursuing revisions to modernize the existing tree ordinance for quite some time now. The original ordinance was adopted on April 25th, 1960. It was last amended in 1983. This proposed amendment will replace the entire existing current regulations with what we would consider more modernized, more comprehensive regulations, and would also establish a shade tree commission for the purpose of regulating the planting, maintenance, and removal of trees located within the public right-of-way and public places in the township. The ordinance is the result of the work completed by Matt Weir, Justin Engel, Concerned Citizens, representatives of the Downtown Hershey Association, and township staff, including those next to me. Since this ordinance is created under the general powers of the township, a public hearing was not necessary.
Yes, I would. I have a lot of people to thank. This was a long time coming, and it's not the beginning or end of the journey. It's kind of a mile point where we have to keep building on this. I want to say thank you to the Environmental Action Committee, who gave a lot of support to this and got it rolling, to the staff here, Mr. Crispin, for supporting us, the supervisors, Chuck and Lauren, for helping us out every step of the way. And I want to say thanks to all the volunteers over the years that helped us plant the trees. Penn State Extension helped us do this, and everyone else that shared their experience and their concern with the tree canopy in Derry Township. What are we going to change? Well, we're modernizing. We're going to have a tree commission now. That's required by a lot of the grants that you get for trees and things like that. It's gotten too complicated for just a couple of volunteers to handle this stuff. So we're looking forward to working with the staff and the Shade Tree Commission for making a real quality tree canopy that enhances the size of the trees, the age of the trees, and the diversity of the species of the trees. So we have a healthy tree canopy, and a healthy tree canopy is good for all residents of Township.
No, just that, I think before we advertised, I think we said some things about your work, Matt, but just to reiterate, great work. This is something that you've really driven, and there's a lot of trees in Derry Township now that wouldn't be there if it weren't for all your efforts. took over here, and I said, thanks for doing that. Trees, you know, actually we were just talking about, I mean, a lot of us go to visit places and we form opinions about the place that we went to. We don't always put all the different pieces together as to why we enjoyed something. At the top of that list is trees. Trees make a sense of place in many of the communities that we visit, so great job.
And I forgot to mention, anyone interested in joining the Shade Tree Commission, if you have some expertise in trees and you would like to share that expertise with the community, get in touch with us and we'll get you on the list to consider for a position on that commission.
I'd like to add too, I've been on the board for 2 years now, or coming up. You okay, Tess? Okay. And Matt and I have chatted about this quite a bit, and I commend him, I congratulate him. He really put forth an effort on this, along with the other folks he mentioned. I think this is a big step in the community, and it'll benefit everybody over the next decade, over the next few decades.
And it takes somebody with the passion for this, but right. Really understanding of it. We often say we like trees. Matt actually gets trees, understands trees, and everybody who's helped him, Justin and the staff. I mean, it's really been a group effort, but it's, as you mentioned, led by Matt.
Yep. So. Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you.
Once we get a vote on this.
That's right. I'll back off on that.
Well,
that's right.
Would someone like to make a motion to modernize the existing tree ordinance, which was adopted April 25th, 1960, last amended December 1983, and establish a Shade Tree Commission for the purpose of regulating the planting, maintenance, or removal of trees located in the public rights of way on public places of the township?
Gladly make that motion.
Made by Mr. Weir.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zambuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration and adoption of resolution number 1598, establishing the contribution rate for the police pension fund for 2019 at 2% of wages, retroactive to January 1, 2019.
Ms. Lawson. Thank you. Act 600 requires the board supervisors to set member contribution rates to the police pension plan for each year. This resolution is normally presented in January. However, due to an administrative oversight, this resolution is being placed on the agenda this evening, retroactive to January 1, 2019. The 2019 contribution rate was previously set when the board voted on the police contract in 2018, but it needs to be, a resolution needs to be made.
Any questions for Cheryl? Here and now I'll make the motion that resolution 1598, establishing the contribution rate for the police pension fund for 2019 at 2% of wages retroactive to January 1, 2019, is hereby approved. Do I have a second?
Can I ask a question real quick? First.
I think so. We need to discuss before we make the motion.
You made the motion, right? Okay.
I apologize. That's
all right. You went right to it.
Well, you were talking, so. Okay.
The question I'm asking, where did the 2% go from? How is that done?
That is set in the police contract. It's what we negotiate.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Should I repeat
the? So you made a motion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone second it. Discussion. Yeah. I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And then motion carries.
Sorry,
that was a good question. Next item on the agenda, a request from the Hershey New Year's Eve Celebration Committee to hold the New Year's Eve Celebration in the Square of Hershey on December 31st, 2019. It will continue for an hour or so into January 1, 2020.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason for this being on the agenda, request to close state roadways must be approved by the Board of Supervisors. The main state roadway affected by the event is Route 422 from Homestead Road to Hawkinsville Road. It will also affect State Route 743 from Hershey Park Drive to 322, and based on the size and magnitude of the event, it will also affect other state roadways, State Route 322 and State Route 39, which will be used for detouring of traffic. If the board approves this event, PennDOT will be contacted for permits and approval. The event should last approximately 13 hours. This includes time for stage setup, starting with the detours, and cleanup at the end of the event. The event itself should kick off around 9 p.m. on December 31st. This will be the, if I figured correctly, the 15th year for the event, and pretty much everything, not a lot has changed from the beginning, and it's been held successfully. It will involve yet to be determined amount of overtime for the police department and for public works. And police department has the ability to do scheduling adjustments to try to reduce some of the budget impact for the event. This has been reviewed and recommended by the traffic safety unit of the police department.
Thank you. Any questions? Great community event. Can't believe it's been 15 years and makes us all feel very old. I'll make the motion that the request to hold New Year's Eve celebration in the Square of Hershey on December 31st, 2019, along with associated road closings, be hereby approved. Have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries.
Terry, is there a recommendation for that?
We can hold that in all sorts of terrible weather. Next item on the agenda, releasing the remaining balance of the performing security and entering the maintenance security period for the preliminary and final subdivision and land development plan on the Scales property, plat 1269.
Rick, that was pretty funny. Thank you, Madam Chair. Plat 1269 depicted the combination of two lots located along Middletown Road and the development of 32 dwelling units. The Board of Supervisors approved the plan in September of 2016, and it was recorded December of 2016. Since that time, they've completed the construction. The developer has requested the release of the balance of the performance security. Recent inspection by HRG has led to the recommendation that such a release is warranted and that main security is to be provided. The applicant actually has already posted the maintenance security of $4,653.75 and has signed the agreement. Tonight we're looking for, I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the remaining balance, which is $69,853.30 of the performance security, and accept the maintenance security as well as the signed agreement.
Questions from Mr. Chairman? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve as stated?
So moved.
By Mr. Engel?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Saluda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Now I'm turning to my left. Mr. Saluda, anything this evening?
No, I didn't. I was so engrossed in working with our first couple of issues that
I know our first Hershey All Things Diversity Series went very well, and we're looking for RSVPs for our November session that deals with understanding boundaries and bodies in the Me Too movement. So we encourage our community to come out and participate in that. I think it's November 13th, if I'm not mistaken. So looking forward to that event. Mr. Engel?
No. Thank you.
Terry, anything else this evening?
Just the things the police department obviously today, if you haven't noticed, is the start of the Antique Auto Week. We also have coming up in the not-too-distant future the Halloween Parade and also the Half Marathon will be coming up.
What was the last one? I'm sorry.
The Half Marathon.
Half Marathon.
Be coming up also this month.
Thank you. Mr. Sassman, anything?
I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Bob, anything?
One quick note. We had started leaf pickup this week, so I guess it's time to get your leaves out. There's sticks of grass clippings in the piles.
And Wood Road, do you want to mention any updates on that? That's coming up, what, next week?
I have no information on that.
Okay. Well, I believe we've got it up on the website. It's being closed for some repairs during the day. So.
That's the state section of Wood Road.
Correct, yes.
Built to Middletown, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
What's this schedule changes for the library? This Friday morning, we're opening at noon to the public for a staff training, and then Tuesday, we're closing at 5 because of the Halloween parade.
Chair, what's
that? Nothing, thanks.
Just a reminder, 1 week from this evening, the community Halloween parade beginning at 7 o'clock at the Recreation Center.
We lost Eric. Matt, anything else for HRD?
Yeah, just a quick note, we don't talk about MS4 in this too much anymore, but DEMA did submit their annual report to comply with their MS4 permit last month, so that continues.
Mr. Armour, anything else this evening?
And they're doing a great job with stormwater over there. I just sent them stuff today. November 12th, we need to schedule a hearing, and actually I think it is already scheduled. Along with the tree ordinance that we just adopted this evening, we're looking at a small amendment within the SAUDA, within the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance, a companion revision. But unlike tonight's meeting, which is done, or tonight's ordinance, which was done under the general powers of the township and doesn't require a hearing, amendments to the subdivision ordinance does require a hearing. I'm looking at scheduling that November 12th at 6 p.m. Then directly thereafter, and actually I'm thinking of scheduling it for 6:10 because I don't think we're going to talk about the tree ordinance a lot. We have a conditional use hearing for another short-term rental, and at 6:30 another short-term rental. So if that pleases the board, that's the agenda there. For November 26th, regular supervisors meeting, we'll be having our public hearing on the new zoning ordinance. I would like to start that meeting at 5:30. I know that's an early start. That is what we did with last time that we adopted the 2017 ordinance. I'd also like to schedule the regular Board of Supervisors meeting to begin at 7:30.
I was going to say 5:30 to 7, that might not be cutting it close.
To try and give us a couple hours. I even considered 8 o'clock. I think we could push 15 minutes past 7:30 without too much trouble.
So. John, what day was that?
That is November 26th. Two days before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And 2 days before my birthday.
Oh.
That's all I have.
Thanks.
And you're okay with that 7:30 start?
Does that work for everybody?
Just to note that we have Chocktoberfest coming up on October 19th. Thank you to everyone who has signed up to volunteer so far. Thanks also to the support that the Downtown Hershey Association receives from various other township departments. So looking forward to that.
Just a request for the reporter that we read the statement that you at the beginning of the meeting for the executive session. She didn't hear it. Well, if it wasn't said, I'm not really sure. There's a standard.
No, I don't think I did read that. It's a good thing you're paying attention. So for those of you who are remaining, the board did meet in executive session prior to and after our 6 p.m. hearing to discuss land, legal, and personal matters.
I have nothing further.
Thank you for the reminder. We will move on to approval of accounts payable of $1,878,434.12 and payroll of $322,958.81. Do I have a motion to approve?
Sure.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And that is approved. And our last session of public comment, same rules apply as the first session. State your name, give us your address. Please try to keep your remarks in 3 minutes or less. Mr. Campbell knows those rules.
I can let the night go by without just saying hello. just in sitting through this thing with the hotel situation, you could call it the Cinderella story. You know, the fantasy, the pumpkin to a coach, the mice to horses, the ugly sisters. But the bottom line is, glass slipper didn't fit. So that's to our advantage. Thank you for a great job. Well done. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Campbell. I'm sure the Hummelstown Sun is sorry they missed that headline you just gave them. Glass slipper didn't fit. Anybody else have any comments to make?
Where we're at.
Hearing none?
Oh. Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. Couple things. Number one, this coming Friday, October 11th, is the International Day of the Girl. And I just wanted to enter that in the record as a father of four girls. They, you know, women, girls have come a long way. And if there's going to be another township newsletter this week, it'd be good if that, you know, if it said something about that in there.
Can you email me something about that?
Sure.
What day was that one?
Friday.
Friday.
This Friday.
Yes, October 11th. The next thing is with the update that we just got about the community center. Just wondering if we're going to have another set of eyes that are going to take a look at the final plans as they're going to be submitted for bids. I know Greg and his team are probably hard at work, but a lot of times just the smallest detail can be overlooked, and then it leads to change orders that could cost a lot of money.
And I don't know if you've retained anybody to take a look at that. If you haven't, you know, there's guys that come up to this podium that have the experience, you know, guys like Brian and Steve and some others that can just, you know, peruse through that to make sure everything's good so that it doesn't add any more money to the budget. The other thing that I have on here, since the building configuration itself has changed, Dauphin County approved the original. Have we gone back to the county and saying, hey, get ready for this? Because the last thing you want is come 2020, they're going to say, time out.
I can answer that question. Yes, the plans have been submitted back to Dauphin County Conservation District for review. As you may or may not be aware, some of the stormwater and impervious cover has changed on the new plan, which is actually a reduction in what was shown previously. So I would think, and I'll defer to Matt on this, but this is more of a minor plan modification. And that review should be fairly quick in a turnaround process, but yes, it's going back to the county.
Yeah, I figured it might just be a formality, but like I said, the last thing you want is for them to come back and stop you dead in your tracks.
Yeah, the initial plan was, from a stormwater perspective, was approved. So any reduction in pervious surface is going to reduce the amount of stormwater we put on the site.
Right.
So Dauphin County typically does that, a minor amendment to the permit. So,
okay. That's good to know. And the last thing is, you know, SFA came back with the new plan that recommended that you increase the size of the fitness center, which you voted for and accepted. So where are we at with Powertrain? Is there any business plan that's been formalized for the fitness center? Because that's gonna be a huge, huge expense. And if it's, obviously, if we don't get the right equipment in there, if it's not managed properly, it could lead to bigger losses than what we originally anticipated.
Yeah, I'll comment on that real quick. So the final plan that you saw here today follows SFA's prescription very closely, almost a square foot per different spaces that they said you need for this size of facility in terms of fitness. And that, as you know, we approved a letter of intent with Powertrain several meetings ago. We continue in those discussions. So that will probably come back before the board within the next month or so.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Steve Spidle, 150 West Granada Avenue. I won't go into details on zoning because I'm sure everyone's exhausted on that right now, but with the pending hearing that's just been scheduled, I know there was a brief presentation at the Planning Commission last week. I did attend that meeting and made some comments to the Planning Commission without having reviewed it. I just would like to ask that material in terms of what's being proposed, as well as has UDA's report been issued? And if not, that would also, I think, be an important thing for the public to have access to well in advance of this hearing.
Chuck Meyer, whispering. He's going to answer the questions.
So we did just receive UDA's complete report just before I left last week. We're looking to publish the ordinance that will be presented at the hearing and have that on our website either Thursday or Friday of this week. We'll put up the UDA report at the same time.
Okay, yeah, I think that's helpful. And I'd ask that I know I get, and many others get, the Township News email each Friday, I think typically it is, that gets, I'd like to see that in that both this week and future weeks to remind people of that hearing, as well as that those two reports are available for review and inviting comment. And I think there's obviously a spirit today, lots of issues, and there's other issues that weren't even relevant in today's discussions relative to the Town Place Suites that need to get addressed, in my opinion. You've heard from me on those before, so I won't go into them tonight. But you'll hear from me again if they're not addressed in that ordinance. So, also, if there's other If there's other means or opportunity to provide, you know, input prior to that date, I'm certainly willing to provide comment and or bring others into that discussion. So I don't know if there are other. I'd like some guidance from the supervisor, Mr. Emmerich, if there is such an opportunity, so we don't get to a point of confrontation instead of a collaborative effort. So.
Chuck, would you welcome comments in advance?
Can I ask that you give me a call tomorrow?
Sure can.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Anyone else?